I just learned a few moments ago that one of our members, Elizabeth Erickson, fell outside this morning coming into the building, and they've taken her away in an ambulance. They don't believe she's hurt seriously, but they're going to check her out. And you may not know this, but about, I think, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, she was involved in a head-on collision, and she has had a terrible few weeks. We need to pray for her. The devil's chasing her, and we're not going to let him get her. Let's pray for her right now. Father God, I pray that this fall will be fairly insignificant, but I pray, Lord, all together that you will touch Elizabeth's body, her mind, and her spirit, and her emotions, and that you will restore her and grant her, Lord, your peace. So we pray for those attending to her now, that they may do so with wisdom and skill and compassion. And we ask you, Lord, to make her whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be part of the family of God where we pray for one another, isn't it? And I hope that you never skip over the prayer request and the praise request that are in our bulletin, that you always read them, and that you always pray. That's not gossip column. That's a prayer request column. Pray, people. Now, as you know, God decided to give a big birth announcement to a very unlikely group of people in Bethlehem, the shepherds there in Bethlehem. Why shepherds? Why on earth would God choose shepherds for that birth announcement? Contrast that with Prince William and Kate Middleton's announcement of the birth of their children. Who do you think would have received the birth announcements in the mail? The dockhands? The bakers? The bus drivers? No. Why did God choose shepherds for such an important announcement as the birth of his son Jesus Christ? We have all seen manger scenes. We've seen paintings of them, and we have seen the little figurines of manger scenes, and the shepherds in them are always so cute and clean and pristine, and their staffs are just perfectly formed. But you know what? That's not really the way it was. Let's examine how it really was. Shepherds were social outcasts. First of all, they did not sleep in an RV or in a home. They slept in dirt. They did not have running water. They did not bathe. They did not use Dial. They did not use mouthwash. They were dirty and smelly creatures. They were social outcasts. You probably would not want your daughter to marry one of those shepherds. They did not have a P.O. box. They did not have a home address, and they did not have a picket fence around. They moved around, living in different places, looking for more grass and more water for their sheep. People looked upon the shepherds with a great deal of suspicion. If something went missing, I'll bet it was one of those shepherds. That was the reputation they had. You simply could not trust a shepherd. They were not allowed to bring testimony in any legal setting whatsoever because people had decided you cannot trust the word of a shepherd. And yet God chose the shepherds to tell people what they had seen and heard. People who were not trusted. How interesting is that? The shepherds knew their sheep by name, but they did not know people by name because they did not have social interaction with the people as you and I do. About the only interaction they had with them was on Fridays, because on Fridays, they would take their sheep and their other animals into Jerusalem near the sheep gate where they would sell the animals for sacrifice. And you can believe that they did it loudly. They were shouting and bartering and bargaining the price. That's what they were known for. So the Orthodox Jews and the elite of Jerusalem really did not like the shepherds. They were social outcasts. And you know what? Not much has changed in our society. You and I are confronted by people like that in our lives from time to time, and I am sure that most of us avoid them. I read a moving testimony that a woman brought to her church, and I want to read it to you. She said, "We were the only family with children in the restaurant." That says a lot right there, doesn't it? "We were the only family with children in the restaurant. I sat Eric in a high chair, and I noticed everyone was quietly eating and talking. Suddenly, Eric squealed with glee and said, 'Hi!' He wiggled and he giggled with merriment, and a man with a tattered rag of a coat, dirty, greasy, and worn. His pants were baggy, and his toes poked out of his would-be shoes. His hair was uncombed and unwashed. His whiskers were not quite a beard. We were too far away to smell him, but I am sure that he smelled. And he waved at my baby. 'Hi there, baby. Hi there, big boy. I see you, Buster.' My husband and I did not know what to do. Eric continued to giggle and smile. Our meal finally came, and the drunken geezer began shouting across the room, 'Do you know patty cake? Do you know peekaboo? Hey, look, he knows peekaboo.' No one thought that that man was cute. My husband and I were embarrassed. Eric, on the other hand, was running through his repertoire of tricks, all of which were admired by the bum. We finally got through the meal. My husband went to pay while Eric and I headed for the door. The old man stood up and was positioned between me and the door. I uttered a prayer, 'Oh Lord, just let me get out of here before he speaks to me or Eric.' As I drew close to him, I turned my back and tried to step beside him to avoid any air that he might be breathing. And as I did, Eric leaned over my arm and reached with both of his arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. And before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself into that man's arms. Eric, in an act of total trust, laid his tiny head upon that man's shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw tears hovering beneath his eyelashes. His aged hands, full of grime and pain and hard labor, gently, ever so gently cradled my baby's bottom as he stroked his back. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms for a moment, and then his eyes opened and he looked squarely into mine and he said in a firm, commanding voice, 'You take care of this baby.' Somehow I managed, I will. I got my baby back. And the man said, 'God bless you, ma'am. You have given me my Christmas gift.' I ran to the car. My husband wondered why I was crying and saying, my God, forgive me.' That ragged old man and Eric had unwittingly reminded me that to enter the kingdom of God, we must become like children. It was men like that old bum to whom God sent his big birth announcement. You know, being a social outcast as a shepherd was bad enough, but there was something worse. They were also religious outcasts. According to the Jewish law, they were considered spiritually unclean. You see, they had to work 24/7 out in those fields with those sheep, and that meant they had to work on the Sabbath. No. They were not able to participate in the feasts and the ceremonies and the traditions that the Pharisees honored above all. Somebody had to watch the sheep. When the other folks were making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem in order to bring sacrifices into the temple there, the shepherds were out there in the fields keeping those future sacrifices safe and fat. So the religious elite looked down on the shepherds because they did not participate in all of the ceremonies and the rituals that were required for purification. Being a shepherd was lonely. It was wearisome. It was boring. It was tedious. It was dangerous. And yet God chose shepherds when he announced the birth of his son. Why shepherds? You already know this, but I'll say it anyway. To understand the mind of God is beyond our ability. He surprises us all the time. He did, he does, he will. But God gave us a lot of clues in the Bible as to why he chose shepherds. And before we examine them, let's think about this. If you had been one of those shepherds out there in the field, a social outcast, a religious outcast, undoubtedly your spiritual self-image would be marred. You would not think very highly of yourself. You might have even had the thought that God doesn't even know I exist, that he's passed me by. Do any of you feel that way now? I know people who do. I have known people who do. And I know how that interrupts their lives. And at Christmas, it seems that that feeling of low self-esteem is magnified in some people. If you had been one of those shepherds out there in the field that night, boy, would you have been in for a big surprise because of what happened to them. And when those angels appeared to you and all that light was showing there, a flood of emotions would undoubtedly overwhelm you. In addition to your fear, and that would probably be how I would feel too, you would feel incredible humility. God chose me? Yes. And God chose you too. Amen. Hallelujah. God chose you too. Even though you are a filthy, smelly sinner. How does it make you feel? Humbled? Or have you gotten used to it? Has it lost its wonder for you? Has it lost its sense of awe that God chose you? Perhaps a better question to ask in the sermon title would be, why you? Why me? Let's get back to some of the clues in the Bible that God gave us as to why shepherds. And like most everything else in the Bible, it begins at the beginning. It begins in the book of Genesis. I'm reading from Genesis 4, beginning in verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks. Abel was the first shepherd in the Bible after the fall. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. Abel was the first man after the fall in the Bible who was identified as a worshiper who was acceptable, accepted by God. And he was a shepherd. Now, in the second book of the Bible, we read about one of God's giants, Exodus 3. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And Moses led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him and in flames of fire from within a bush. God revealed himself to a shepherd named Moses. God did not reveal himself to Moses when Moses was high and mighty and exalted and leading back there in Egypt. God waited until Moses was a humble shepherd. Last week, the question was, why Bethlehem? And we recall that God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint the second king of Israel, 1 Samuel 16:11. So Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." But he is a shepherd. Can't you hear that in his voice? He could not believe that little David, little stinky David, could be the one. And immediately after that, we read that King Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. And the servants recommended to the king that he seek someone who could play the harp and bring someone there. And you know the story. 1 Samuel 16:19. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And the shepherd boy came as he was commanded, and he brought his harp, and he played the harp before the king. And whenever he played the harp before him, the evil spirit departed, because David offered his music to God in worship. Now hear this. God frequently uses music that way. When music is used in worship of God, God touches people. Don't miss that point. It is true. And I read somewhere that a lot of shepherds, even today, learn to play a musical instrument. One of the reasons that they do that is that they are so bored while they're watching the sheep eat grass. And another reason is that when they play the musical instrument, it soothes the sheep. God can use music to soothe the animal and the person, including you. You can go to Israel today and walk down the streets of Jerusalem, and you will find people there selling little wooden flutes that the shepherds play out in the fields, even today. I have one at home. Psalm 78 is a very long psalm. It has 72 verses in it. I am not going to read all 72 verses. Amen. I'm going to read the last three verses of Psalm 78. God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Israel. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. Do you hear it? God began to elevate the image of a shepherd in the minds and the hearts of the people. He inspired a shepherd to write some of the most wonderful words in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those who are with young. Why shepherds? The various answers to that question are very obvious to us now because we know the Good Shepherd. We can see it from this side of the cross. And you know the power of these words from John 10, verse 11, where Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. God knew that his Son would be our shepherd. He knew that. And on that night in Bethlehem, he gave those shepherds a glimpse of what was to come. God also knew that our shepherd would be our sacrificial lamb. And he gave Bethlehem a glimpse that night of what was to come. God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? He has a way of giving you glimpses into your life of things to come. But sometimes our problem is that we miss it because we are tuned to a different channel. John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness and he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And we read in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God gave the people that day a glimpse of what was to come. And it was not a subtle message. It was a bold proclamation. But I am sure that a lot of the people missed it that day because they were tuned in to a different channel. That's the way sheep are, easily distracted. We will wander into oblivion without a good shepherd watching over us. The answer to why shepherds could possibly be given in one word, love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking us from being outcasts to being part of your family. Thank you for giving us the good, great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you love us enough to lead us, correct us, and protect us. And carry us when we fall. And Lord, thank you for the miraculously wonderful story of Christmas and your revelation of your incarnation. We celebrate it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.